What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Polk. Today is June 18th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. All right. Kyle Hendricks had a gimme as he went against the Yankees. He went 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. This is a Yankee team that has been scoreless for 26 innings and has scored 5 runs across its last 6 games. Oh my gosh. So yeah, Kyle Hendricks went 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. There's no way that lasts, guys. You know that, right? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. He's not going to go 44% CSW on 54 fastballs against the Astros. Brian Wu, though, he might, because his fastball is incredible. 11 over 37 whiffs with that four-seamer as he went 7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, 6 Ks. The secondaries, no, they're not really doing anything special still. 1 over 11 whiffs. But when the four-seamer and sinker is just as good and you are in Seattle and facing the Red Sox without Devers, yeah, right. I get it. I did remove his ace is going to ace tag, but this is not really a major step forward because I really just want to see those secondaries work. Seth Lugo, I actually lowered on the list this past week because I said, hey, look, he just doesn't have the same strikeout upside as those in the same tier as him, like Christopher Sanchez, for example, and Ranger Suarez. Well, Seth Lugo went 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. You know what? I'm happy. Not that it's really believable because it was 4 whiffs apiece on the cutter and the forcing, which, come on, let's be honest, they were 14 whiffs. Still, that's awesome. And Seth Lugo and I guess the Padres, I am obviously going to be starting him there. And maybe even the Dodgers after, we'll see. Antonio Senzatella, my gosh, he went 0 runs in 5 innings. 1 earned run, unearned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Thank you so much, Koufax. What a day. What a day, Koufax. You just helped this wonderful man in Washington, D.C. Okay. We have Andrew Abbott against the Twins. 5.2 innings and 1 run, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. He got singled out a bit, and this was your standard Abbott of going super arm side with his changeup and his four-seamer, then flipping these curveballs over the plate, and it worked. And I just still don't quite get it, but it's working, and you keep doing it. Dean Kramer is a werewolf. Dean Werewolf, of course. He got the win, 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. No, the splitter and the curve are probably not going to be like this a lot. And it was just 33% fastball. It was strange. It was weird. I'm happy it worked for him, but not a sustainable approach in my view. And you also see different things from Kramer, what works, what doesn't, between outings. So, yeah, not going to lean into this one. We had Matt Sawyer get opened for by Jack Dreyer. And Sawyer went 2.1 innings of 3 runs and 54 pitches. And it's just, all right, a waste of a day. There were the Dodgers. Cool. We are going to see today Justin Rybulski follow Emmett Sheehan. I am excited to see what happens there. Actually, I believe it'll be tomorrow. Maybe it's today. I think it's today. That should be fun to see. But this is silly with Matt Sawyer. You don't want him on your teams. Matthew Liberatore had a good game against the White Sox. Got the win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. I don't really think he pitched it that well. The four-seamer was really just down the middle of the plate a lot. The slider was effective. So was the cutter. They were better than what I have seen, but I'm still not really enthused by Liberatore. Just 4 whiffs and 20% CSW. He's going to be able to stroll down the Reds' carpet the next start, so we're obviously just going to start him there and hope for the best. We have Casey Mize against the Pirates. Got a win, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. I dramatically raised Mize on the list this past week because he was not looking good at all post-return from the IL, and then all of a sudden he was 95-96 on the fastball and everything was cooking. This was a little bit worse, 94.5 instead of that 95.5 on the fastball. But the splitter earned strikes. The curve had 6 over 19 whiffs, but a bad strike rate, 47%. And his slider, which is kind of like a cutter more so these days, 87-88. Well, it did go 7 for 10 strikes, and that helped out too. And I really like the four-seamer command. So I'm encouraged by Mize. Not as encouraged as his last start, but he'll go against the Rays and the Twins, and I dig that for Casey Mize. Jason Alexander was someone I actually liked watching here against the Athletics. He got a win. The right-hander got 6 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. And this was a careful Icarus as he actually showed it for the 7th, allowed a walk and a hit, and then was pulled, and both those runners scored. So that's your 200 runs. It was really 6 innings of 1 hit and 2 hits and 2 walks and 4 Ks, which is pretty dang cool. I like the changeup. It looks like one of those typical Estrada changeups from the right side, 80, 81 miles per hour. Throws it to both righties and lefties. The sweeper has a lot of really legitimate movement to it, but he couldn't really throw it for strikes, could not get whiffs. 6 over 16 strikes is just not it. And his sinker is actually a true sinker. It is 1 inch of vert, which essentially once you get to 4 under is proper sink, maybe 5 and under. So when you see that 1, it's like, ooh, anything close to negative is great for proper sink. And I think he spotted it well. The problem is that the Astros likely aren't going to continue with Jason Alexander. This is just a spot start here. And even if he did, it might be the Angels or the Phillies in that next start, and then there would be the Cubs after that. Those are not matchups I'd really want to chance it. But there is maybe something interesting if he gets the velocity maybe a little harder and also is able to command that sweeper properly, because the changeup is a very legitimate offering for Jason Alexander. And no, I will not make any of those easy cherry-picked jokes. Come on. Ben Brown against the Brewers did not earn a single whiff on 55 four-seamers. Zero. He still went 5 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. He had a 40% CSW on the curve. That helps. It's interesting to think about, let's say he got no decision. It would be a 3.6 ERA with a 1.60 whip in 5 Ks. And you start to really think like, okay, what is it that I'm really chasing with Ben Brown? You did get the win though, so that's maybe what you're chasing. Slay Cicchone against the Giants got the win. 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. I wasn't too encouraged by his start against the Reds carpet. Yes, it was 8 Ks. Nice. That's that team. This is actually with Devers. And the slider worked really well against right-handers. 7 over 25 whiffs, but I don't like the approach against lefties. 5 over 12, 11 strikes is enough with the curve, and the four-seamer really just had to do most of the things over the plate to them. It's not very fun. He goes to Sacrever next. I do not want to do that. Yeah, don't start him against the Athletics in Sacramento. Brandon fought against the Jays, survived. 5 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He didn't face too many lefties when he did. We did see some changeups and curves, but they weren't like the best spotted, and it was four-seamers really up. So I guess he avoided mistakes, which is good against lefties. And then against righties, it was his sweeper going away a ton with four-seamers also matching and sinkers kind of there too. It was all glove side. And that worked. And I'm glad it did. Maybe this will give him the confidence to succeed in cores and maybe get that approach nailed down again versus lefties. And it's good to see the sweeper doing sweeper things as well. David Festa against the Reds, 3.2 innings and 81 pitches, by the way. 200 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. With Festa, we know the stuff is good, but he doesn't command it all properly. He doesn't squeeze out everything that we want him to. And that's just a huge issue. It's a normal thing we do see from younger pitchers is that they aren't totally refined yet with their approach. And the slider really needs to be that devastating pitch to right-handers. I think the changeup is the most polished as of now to lefties, but he's not really doing good pitch separation. He is not efficient. It's not someone that I really want to go for. You can find the 5-inning, 6-inning game from Festa, but I feel as if you can chase other guys in the meantime. David Peterson against Atlanta, 7 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and just 3 strikeouts. It was a careful Icarus as he allowed a walk and a hit before getting pulled, just like Alexander over there. And this was, maybe it was Alexander allowing it himself. Regardless, that was 6 innings of shutout. That's what matters there. With Peterson, it was 1 earned run and removed the hit and the walk and so on. I like this. He generally had good command of his four-seamer upstairs with sinkers arm side and changeups arm side. Slider, yes and no, good against lefties-ish. And then the curveball just kind of being flipped in there. But David Peterson, we just keep going. We just keep rolling with it. Hopefully the changeups and the sliders can get more whiffs in the future. We have Will Warren going against the Angels on the other side, and that offense is just not helping him. So even though he went a quality start, 6 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, and 0 walks, and 11 strikeouts, he got a loss. He got the King Cole at 41% CSW, and what was so strange about this Will Warren start is, well, I ask you, take a moment, think about Will Warren. What does he do? He's one of your prototypical sweeper changeup guys, and he has a sinker, and then all of a sudden this four-seamer has been better with the flatter attack angle and everything, right? Well, this game, the sweeper returned 60% strikes with just 3 whiffs. and the changeup wasn't really present at all. No, this was four seamers and sinkers just nailing glove side against righties all day. And he got most of his strikeouts just right on that outside edge. A lot of them were called as well. And that's pretty cool that he can be so precise, right? When I watch Will Warren, yeah, there are these non-competitive sliders at times that bother me. But when it comes to his fastballs, he is actually generally very precise. And that makes me encouraged for him moving forward. I mean, 11 strikeouts. The guy is striking out so many batters without what I think is a really chaotic approach. So I'm a huge fan of this. I think you should too. And that four-seamer being that really good height-adjusted VAA to lefties is really the biggest weakness we normally see with that sinker, sweeper, changeup pitcher. So get in while you still can. Okay. Zach Littell against the Orioles. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. For those in non-quality start leagues, is that 4.5 ERA worth, or sorry, the 1.17 whip worth 3 strikeouts and 4.5 ERA? Probably not, right? He has a 3.10 ERA and a 1.08 whip since April 16th with a 16% strikeout rate. That's Zach Littell. I think this is just not worthwhile and you should stream instead. He goes dancing with the disco with that splitter and it's just, ugh. It's not for me. We have other guys to talk about. Robbie Ray, did he change from the fastball stuff? We'll talk about that. Michael Soroka, Chris Bassett, and many others after this break. So Michael Soroka against Rocky Road in Washington, D.C. 12 over 46 whiffs on his curveball at a 46% CSW. We love that. He had a few too many hangers. The fastball was good, but not amazing. We didn't see any change of development. And in the end, it was 6 innings of 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 9 strikeouts. We'll take that all day, even though it was a loss. Robbie Ray pushed through this one and got through 6 to give you that poor quality start with 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Props to him for doing that, getting a something of production after allowing 2 runs or 3 runs earlier on. However, he didn't throw too many... He didn't throw enough secondaries. His slider was thrown 6 times. Robbie Ray threw only 6 sliders. What? His knuckle curve was actually pretty effective at 60% strike rate, 36% usage. But the other 54% usage or 64%, most of it was fastballs. And why are we doing this again? That's 3 straight of 55% plus usage of fastballs when it was 45 to 50 beforehand, and he had better feel across all of his arsenal. I don't know. It's strange. And if he has a rough outing next time out, which we're not going to bench him for, I may have to remove the aces against ace if it's more of the same here. Like, I don't know. It's not terrible as he's going through this. It's just weird. He had one really good start, one blech start, and this one is another kind of blech start, right? So strange. Chris Bassett also got a poor quality start. Same thing as Robbie Ray across the board, really, of a 1.17 whip and 5 strikeouts in 6 innings. And for him, I'm happy he did well against a strong offense. So this is better than expected for Bassett. He had really good pitch separation, high cutters and arm side sinkers and low-ish curveballs down lower third of the zone, but in the zone, with his curve to left-handers, but that cutter had a sub 50% strike rate. It was too far out of the zone. I don't know how much I love going away to left-handers with sinkers, and also the curve was too hittable. So I don't know. I mean, it's the White Sox next, so fine. We're going to go with Bassett there. Bailey Falter, 3 earned runs in 5 innings against the Tigers. Okay. Hopefully he gets traded at the deadline, and then we get Bubba finally. Randy Vasquez survived the Dodgers. 3 earned runs in 5 innings. Yes, that is surviving the Dodgers. Only 4 hits and 0 walks, 2 Ks. Koufax helped a bit here. Yeah, you don't want to go after him. Cal Quantrill left early with cramps, and it's not like you were really excited about this against the Phillies anyway. It was 4 innings of 30 runs. Spencer Schwellenbach, a weird one, where he allowed a home run to Soto on a bad slider over the plate. He allowed a 0-2 splitter to be a home run later in the game to a right-hander, Taylor, and then the other 2 runs were this ridiculous flare to shallow right field along the line. You know, one of those where they hit the ball and they think it's foul, and then all of a sudden they realize it might not be foul? That was with 2 outs, so the man on first and second came all the way around to score as Acuna dove and missed it. All I'm trying to say is that Spencer Schmalenbach looked really good Seven innings, four runs, six hits, two walks, and eight strikeouts. He had 23 whiffs for a Gallows pull. Seven of those whiffs were four seamers, and everything else was the secondaries, which is good. We haven't seen those secondaries really take off this year. This is a step in the right direction. Not quite fully refined and amazing, but this is a step in the right direction, and that's cool. We have Jesus Luzardo against the Marlins. Five innings, four runs, six hits, four walks, and four strikeouts. This was not nearly as bad as you think. I watched this one. He had a careful Icarus by walking the first two batters of the six, and they both came around to score. So through five, it was 200 runs, six hits, two walks, and four Ks. Yes, his four-seamer wasn't quite as good as we've seen. He did have a slider or two that he probably wants back against right-handers. Probably should have thrown an extra changeup or two here. But yeah, Jesus Luzardo is still great. Do not let this start convince you otherwise. You have Chad Patrick against the Cubs. Five innings of four runs. Yeah, it was against the Cubs. All right, he gets a rocky road after getting the Twins in his next two. I think you're okay with both of them. The Twins one I don't really love, but yeah, I'm in for rocky road with Chad Patrick as the cutter is still good. Shane Smith against the Cardinals. 4.1 innings of five runs, six hits, three walks, and two strikeouts. The regression came a bit here. He got singled out. The secondaries didn't help nearly as much as we've seen. He's still at 95-96 with 17 inches of vert. Generally high locations on that. It just wasn't as good of a slider and changeup as we've seen. Same with the curve. It's fine. We keep rolling with him. J.P. Sears had a terrible game in Sacro Verde against the Astros. 3.1 innings of 5 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And we have... Just a frustrating outing of him trying to go more changeups, which is cool, but they were way over the plate. He did not have a good slider. It was right in the middle, and you have the four-seamer that was too far out of the zone. Just not good for J.P. Sears, and we're definitely out of that. And then you have Jack Leiter in Walker Buehler. Jack Leiter, or Jack Zippo, as I like to call him. Yeah, his command is just not good. The slider was down in middle. It wasn't down in glove side and off the plate. It needs to be like if... I would rather see 55% strikes on the slider if it meant that he was off the plate away more and down, right? Because that means the 55% strikes that he does get would be more effective than the ones he's throwing. The four-seamer was up and down. It was just generally all over the zone, which it shouldn't be. It should just be just up. The sinker was up in the upper third, and it should have been in the arm side, right? He got that one up, but that's not the one we want up. The changeup didn't really help much. The curveball didn't really help much. And come on, Jack Leiter, you are a poor execution, awesome stuff, also known as a pease. I don't think we can really rely on this working. It's not enough of an upside that it's not like he's just going to be great and then always great. I think you got to move on if you haven't yet in your 12 teamers. And same with Walker Buehler, because it was 3.1 innings of 8 earned runs, 8 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. It was 2 inherited runners, sure, in that fourth inning, but yeah, he did not look good. He had a ton of hung pitches. He did have some poorly spotted heaters that got him into worse counts. He did have some nice sliders to right-handers, and that is cool to see that he actually does have something he believes in against righties. That's nice. A lot of the damage came against lefties. I mean, there was such a bad changeup to Kyle Rowley. Oh my gosh. Bases loaded, 0-0 count. And it was just a 91 mile per hour changeup up and away. Like, he got his arms extended and everything. Oh, man. He didn't have like anything in the bottom down and away quadrant too to lefties. It was, I think, 3 total pitches in that quadrant in the zone and out for Walker Buehler, which is absolutely shocking. So, look, you're probably going to see a different version of Buehler a lot over the next couple of weeks. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. And that alone should say, yeah, we don't want to go for this. There is still a ceiling to hit, but that is worthwhile and it can show up, but you probably don't want to take the risk. All right, that is it for today's episode of the Plus Pitch Podcast. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.